My company name is Nutrally. Is that what you said? Yeah, so it's like a little take on nutrition and leaf that is put them together like Nutrally.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Lee North. She is a naturopathic nutritional therapist, and today she's going to shed some light on exactly what that is and what she offers. And Lee, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I'm really honored, actually. It's great to be here. I started listening to your podcast when I first connected with you. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I usually kind of start with maybe just tell us a bit more about yourself and how you ended up in this space.
Okay, so my background is I'm from Sweden. I moved to England around the millennium. So I've been living in England for, 23 years, something like that. And I came into this space, like the nutrition part. The story is quite long. Don't know how much time we got, but I think it came around a divorce. So I think my daughter was about 2 months old, and I have 2 other kids. I've been, looking after the family, being the housewife. And then I suddenly thought, what am I going to do for me? Because I have been playing all these cards, for everybody and not really going for what I want to do. What do Lee want to do? So that's how I come into the nutrition part. So I went backwards. I kind of looked in my younger years. What did I like to do when I was young, I remember I used to pick a lot of herbs, and I used to make little tonics with the herbs. Things like lemon balm, nettle, like playing around with that. And I remember that my family told me, you need to study harder, get out of your head and, read the books they give you at school. We want you to get a 9-to-5 job, because this was like maybe I was around 40 and I was still, So I thought at this time, I need to find myself. And that's when I thought, oh, nutrition, but I wanted to learn the biochemistry of everything, because I remember at school I was really interested in energy and how energy doesn't die, it doesn't disappear, it's always around us and it's just constantly changing. And I remember that, and I thought, wow, I'm gonna dig deeper into nutrition and into the chemical pathways, but also stay grounded to I wouldn't say like woo woo, but stay grounded to the herbs, connected to the nature and everything. So that's right when it to the nutrition pathways.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's not woo woo at all. Nature, that's where it's at. I just came in from walking I just go outside for an hour walk, but the sun and the trees and the air, and that's it. That's how I can. It's so good. It's like bathing my brain in like just goodness, right? And yeah. So then food, the nutrition aspect is huge. And there's a huge tip in there for anybody looking for their purpose. Go back to when you were really young. What did you enjoy before the world told you can't do that? And maybe pull on those threads, because there's something there.
Yeah, that's 100%. And that's kind of like what I'm doing now in my nutrition. And I think it's so important to find our purpose and our focus. And that's going to change, as time goes by, different things doesn't turn out the way, you want it to. Because I even, during my nutrition, so I started that back in 16 maybe. And there wasn't linear, you know, there wasn't straightforward, because in my last year in the nutrition, I actually was hit by a truck on my motorcycle. Yeah, traveling to college. And I was at that point in my life, like I was on top of the world, you know. I was studying, my studying went well, you know, I got aced literally on all my exams, and we do clinics at the college. I'm seeing clients, I had everything set up, you know, my kids was happy, I'm having my house, I'm doing all this, you know, on top of the world. And then I got taken out by this 17-ton truck on the way to college, and I didn't break anything, you know. I didn't, nothing kind of happened. I wouldn't say damaged my brain, but I had quite an extensive, I couldn't make new memories. So that was a real struggle. So I was a final year of college. I had everything set up, and that was like a huge whack, basically.
Yeah. How about that?
Do you
get new memories now, or is it still?
That was 5 years ago. I tried to ignore it first. I think it took maybe 8 months. 8 months to a year, I had to stop college basically, because I found myself making mind maps. You know, when I study, I do mind maps. And then one day I was making one of these maps. I was studying for an exam, and I had a pile. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to go. This is a strange pile. I went through the pile, and then I noticed two other exact the same mind maps that I've done previous, but had no recollection of doing them. Like, so I've been, you know, and I think that was quite, like, I need to stop, you know, I need to take a break. And because it's like, I knew everything that I've done prior, it was, you know, it was fine. So, But during this, my dad passed away as well. So I had, that was 5 years ago, and he had passed away in a brain tumor. So I had that also on top of me. And I I felt like I wanted to give up. I'm not going to lie. Like, I really had to take out all my tools that I have learned from college. And I'm also, I do quite extensive like yoga nidra, so I meditate, and that have helped me since I was young. You know, I had difficult sleeping, but I really had to like take a break, not literally do anything, and then rest for a few months, and then I took out all the tools I have learned to repair myself. In a way that makes sense. I was literally so close to give up on my dream, like becoming a nutritionist. Oh no!
I'm glad you did it.
Yeah,
it makes sense for sure. Sometimes we get so overworked that we do for ourselves, and all we really need is to slow down, to speed up. And that little distance from whatever we're pursuing or whatever we think and the world view that we have, just a little bit of space is what it takes.
But I think I was, in a way, I wouldn't say lucky, but the pathway I took prior to this helped me, because I wouldn't know what I would have done if I wouldn't have this in my backpack. You know? I wouldn't know where I would have been. So I'm very, very kind of blessed that I had the knowledge that I had, and I knew where to turn to.
Yeah. That's why your story is your superpower, is because you had those experiences, right? And so even if those were there, there would be other experiences, and you'd figure it out that way. But I'm glad. So we got tools like yoga. We have tools like meditation, and all these tools kind of help us to get that distance, to get that quiet around so that we can figure it out. And so then you find, okay, I like herbs when I was younger. I'm going to school for nutrition, and now I'm a naturopathic nutritional therapist. And you help people doing what kind of things? All sorts, I guess, right? Digestive issues, lethargy, and all sorts, right?
So, at the minute, I do kind of hone in and specialize on fatigue, burnout, and stress-related symptoms. Now, I mean, there's a array of, everybody could have that. So, but that's kind of like where I use my own passion, because as I said previous, I've got a thing for energy. Like, I don't know, I'm so fascinated by it, and it's like something that keeps on showing us new pathways, and the science in that is always changing, and it's always new things to learn. I found it really exciting, so that's why and I've suffered from fatigue and energy and burnout myself, not just because of the accident I had. When I was younger, or quite recent, I was diagnosed with endometriosis, and that can take a lot of the energy out of you. You can feel fatigued quite quickly when you have that. So I do help when it comes to people. I want to help them to find their own freedom in their own type of whatever they are going through, whatever their needs and whatever they aspire. Sorry, there's a fox in the garden this now, so just distracting me. Yeah, so I want to help them find that freedom and the choices, because I kind of believe, or what I stand for, is that anything is possible. Like, it truly is. And I think sometimes along the line, when things happen, we have a lot of fear and a lot of resistance, and we lose our focus. So with that, it's just that anything is possible, and you just have to find the right guidance and the right people and the right community to sometimes carry you along or spur you along, even push you in the right direction. But also, you bounce off each other.
Yeah,
And
for
that's
sure.
with the nutrition and things like that. What can actually help sometimes when you are in a really low fatigue state? It's just maybe you do have a smoothie with all the nutritious things in, but when you start taking it every single day at a certain time and you keep at it, it's gonna help you, with the process within the body. It's gonna help the build up of all the nutrients and everything you need. That makes sense. So, yeah.
It makes perfect sense. I have a smoothie every day at the same time, and it's like I can feel it. Like immediately, I can feel it in my body. I feel better. I feel healthier. And one thing about those is you know what you're getting, right? Like you know whatever you put in there, like you're getting whole foods, and that's probably a good place to start if we're talking about food, which I want to talk about. But if we can just hang on the endometriosis for a minute, that's definitely, a unique kind of lane. And it's really okay. I run a chronic pain group and for depression and anxiety. And there's a girl in there. That's the only reason I know what it is. But that's a real heavy blow. Like, so how did you deal with that? And then when you're dealing with that, do you think your meditation practice, your yoga, and your nutrition helps you? Because I'm sure it's painful, right?
It's the lining of the womb, the endometrial lining of the womb, that is outside, where it shouldn't be, and then once a month it sheds. So that will be where it shouldn't be. So you're kind of, suppose you would almost have like an internal little bleed. I mean, that sounds a bit just to describe it, but it, then that would cause inflammation, because obviously the body and the immune system has to deal with that endometrial lining that starts to shed where it shouldn't be. So that can cause a lot of inflammation and issues that way. Like women can have it, even they found it in the knees. You know, you don't just have to have it. So I had it, so it was stuck to my bladder and things. So when they had to do surgery to kind of scrape it off. But that was they noticed that I had it because of another surgery I was doing. And then he said, oh yeah, you had endometriosis, and it was like stuck to different organs, and we just, you know, lasered it off. I was like, okay, thanks, you know. Like, wow. But then like I haven't had, you know, the doctors at the time, you know, this must have been like 10 years ago or even more, they didn't really, you know, oh yeah, you have it, that's just, you just gotta live with it. And then you're like, oh, okay. You know, but when it comes to endometriosis, for myself, a lot of things I do that helps is actually removing things like gluten. Less for my, you know, in my diet, having quite an anti-inflammatory diet when it comes to my own eating choices. And I find that helps each month. I don't have the back pain. I have less fatigue, less burnout. You know, it helps with energy.
Yeah, for sure. I just wanted to draw that out because it is so important that all these practices, like, so you get diagnosed with something, but that doesn't have to be a prognosis forever. And depending on how you react to that, yeah, you could sit there and just, some people get the diagnosis and then they feel sorry for themselves and they sit there under a blanket eating ice cream. Well, that's not going to help, right?
Yeah, really might feel good for the first 2 months, but then, you know, after a little while, I think we all can, you know, the victim mentality and in a way, when it comes to certain things, you know, when I got hit by the truck, I was like, you know, why me? You know, I almost spiraled the other way when that happened, because I've been so healthy, I've been so good, you know, and then this happened. But good things happen to bad people, like, and good things happen, or bad things also happen to good people. It's nothing to do with, you know, it doesn't reflect sometimes on how you are with things. I think you gotta remove yourself from that type of aspect. But yeah, victim mentality can be the biggest destroyer, you know? Because the first thing I did after, I'm gonna admit, you know, hands up, like the first thing I did must have been like less than 12 after I've been hit by a motorcycle, was go down to the pub and have a pint. You know, a pint of beer. And my friend, he actually smoked this tobacco, the roll up, and I was like, yeah, just hand me one of them. Because I don't know, like, I just went, like, I thought, literally, I shouldn't be here. I felt like I should have died almost.
Right. That's for sure.
You know, so I, you know, it took a little time, you know, with everybody, but I think it's like healing. You know, you have to give yourself and lots of compassion as well, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I think so, you know, and then celebrate moments of victory, even if there's like every day, have like a little journal, like, wow, I did that really well. And it could be things, if you're in a rut, you know, things like, I made my bed this morning, you know, it could be tiny things. So I had my smoothie. I think them type of things is important.
Yeah. If you want to change the world, start by making your bed. That's what Admiral McCraven. I don't know if you ever saw that speech, but it's.
That's funny. I actually make my bed every single morning. It's like one thing I always have to do is make my bed.
Yeah, I don't know. My story, I went through a decade of hell, and that's one of the ways I turned it around in the beginning was starting. I heard this speech by this guy, and he was saying it was a retired Navy SEAL commander, and he was giving a commencement speech at University of Texas, Austin. And he talks about if you want to change the world, you got to start by making your bed. And he goes through the whole military idea of like what he learned through his 30 years of Navy SEAL training. And he's saying the thing with the bed is like if you make your bed, you get a small win right away in the day. And no matter what happens for the rest of your day, even if your day is horrible and you get hit by a truck, go down to the pub and have a pint and smoke.
My bed was made that day.
Yeah, you can come back home to a made bed, right? And so he says, if you want to change the world, you got to start by making your bed. But yeah, I think that's really good. I appreciate that about you. And now maybe more about your business, the name of your company, and what kind of things do you do?
So sorry, saying again, there's lots of questions in there. Fine. So my company name is Nutrally. Is that what you said? Yeah, so it's like a little take on nutrition and leaf. That is put them together, like Nutrally. It's just help people break free from their.
And what would you do? You send them through a bunch of testing and biome testing or functional anything? Yeah.
So yes and no. This is with me. I do say yes and no quite. I go, yeah, no. But occasionally I do. It depends on if I'm going to change the protocol, you know. So testing can be, especially functional testing, can be quite expensive. You know, you have them stool test. You know, they can cost quite a lot of money. And if I have an idea, because I look at the tongue and the like the nails and the overall picture of a person and questioning them, so I get I think I'm quite good at the ability to investigate and see a pathway or like a timeline, so I can kind of. It's not like I'm guessing, but with all the answers I'm getting from my client or the person that I'm working with direct me towards a certain protocol, then I probably want to try to implement some of them things before I do testing, because it does cost money. But in England, with the GP, I do refer for blood tests. So they can get free blood tests like vitamin D. I can check the vitamin D levels, you know, especially now. Especially, you know, like a lot of people work indoors.
Yeah, you can tell sometimes just by looking at somebody if they need a vitamin D.
Yeah, so then type of things like different blood tests, they could have them done. Some practices might be more reluctant. But I think I'm getting known, I'm not too sure. You know, certain doctors probably start to recognize my name. Oh, here we go again. I'm not gonna say no.
Perfect. Yes and.
But yeah. So that's what I do. If there's things that I would like to see, I would go straight for testing. You know, if there's certain you know, this it's hard to say yes or no, but yeah, I do tests.
All right.
I do not do tests first.
It's shocking to me that the NHS, it sounds like, and I know in Canada the same thing, that they won't cover under benefits and things like this, things like biome testing, things like maybe if you need a specific, let's say magnesium or B12, like just give it to your population, you know what I mean? But on the other hand, they'll cover all these other pills and like that don't help you and just mat, and they'll give you 50 of them. Or I was on 33 a day, and I'm like, what? So you're okay with that, but you're not okay with giving out like. But and I'm not saying that they should just give out vitamins to everyone, but like you said, some people can't afford the testing, and with a simple test, you can figure out for yourself individually exactly what foods you need to eat to make you feel better. Or like you were talking earlier about gluten. You can find out, hey, gluten is not good for me, which probably we should kind of all kind of consider.
Maybe, yeah, especially with glyphosate, or like the spraying that they do.
Glyphosate.
More, yeah, glyphosate, that's it. I think it's, we don't tend to spray too much in the UK, I'm not too sure. But obviously you get grains from all over the world, and it's all different traits and the way the soil is quite depleted, and because you can have a really, really high quality diet, but things are still not quite there for your kind of energy production. You know, you might eat all the magnesium, all the greens, but you're still deficient in magnesium because it's not in the food that you. So it's a little bit, I don't know, it's a little bit sad in one sense that people might have to actually start to take more, you know, vitamins. I do like to go down a natural route, you know.
Okay, so then what is that more with just the foods that have the vitamins and nutrients in it instead of actual supplements, yeah, right?
And then if someone is really chronic with or really deficient, but you can tell, you know, implementing vitamins, different type of B vitamins into the shake or into tablet form, or B12, you know, if you're vegetarian or vegan, you might need extra things like that in your diet.
Yeah. And so your mission is to go beyond just the surface of health concerns and investigate. And so you've kind of described that. You don't just start with this. You kind of experiment, try things, do this and that. And I know everybody's totally individual and unique, and it depends on the person. But overall, is there a higher number of a certain vitamin that people should be adding to their foods, like vitamin B12 maybe or something?
Yeah, it would probably be kind of like magnesium, I'd say. I see a lot in magnesium, and it started to, for some reason, different type of minerals or salts. I'm not saying like table salts, but it's just for the
absorption.
Yeah, for the absorption way in the water. I see people tend to be better.
Yeah, there's a great book by a British guy. I think he's Chinese, but he lives in England. Gilles Yeo. You see him on your TV. Maybe he has some shows. But he wrote a book called Why Calories Don't Count.
Okay, that one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he talks about all this kind of stuff and exactly what you just said about the magnesium. And he says that B12 and magnesium are the two, that if you're not taking them, and he said, people, even if you are taking them and you think you're taking them, like something where I have one, it's a magnesium, calcium, and I don't even know what the third thing is, zinc maybe, but all three of them are together. But if you look at the actual number on the back of what you're getting from magnesium, it's like 120 instead of 1200, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how much of this is mindset shifting and uncovering limiting beliefs where, man, I just go to the pub every Friday and eat a bunch of crap because I've done that every Friday and my father did it and my grandfather did it?
It's the resistance, I think. The resistance sounds like Star Wars thing. But it is literally ingrained into us from generations and the way, you know, how people look at health, you know, they might say, well, I'm eating this for this long and there's nothing, you know, quote unquote, I'm not ill. And that's great, you know, that's wonderful. But there is a lot of people that might have underlying issues with the cardiovascular system, and you know, there's lots of diabetes that tends to, you know, come around and in family and generations and the way we eat. So it is a lot of mind shift, like how we mindset shifting for sure. Because I did a questionnaire where I asked many people, and they had tons of different type of wouldn't want to call them issues, but you know, they had problems. And I asked them one question, and it was, do you think that the food you eat has kind of anything to do with how you feel? And everybody says, no, it hasn't. So I don't know, like, there is kind of like a disbelief that, I don't know, that the food we eat is making the enzymes and the everything, you know, the amino acids and the protein and how nutrition is so chemically makes all the pathways and how it works in our bodies. And it's kind of like, I don't know, like a severed connection between the two.
Yeah, for sure.
People tend not to see that nutrition can be such a big help. And that's where I want to come in and, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily educate and teach people, because in one sense, people just switch off when you talk about, you know, want to educate or teach.
Yeah.
So, but it's definitely like a mindset. Yeah.
Yeah, even if you're going back to glyphosate, so we think we're eating good foods, but really they're sprayed with glyphosate. And if you ever, so you're saying in England, it's not that big. So here, let's say there's a street with houses, right? And at the end of the street, there's a city park, or what do you call it? Local council park or something, right? And so that guy on the people who live on the street are not allowed to use it on their gardens, unless you have a special license, which it's all locked up at Home Depot. You need to have a license to get the Roundup, which, first of all, that should be like a red flag right there for everyone. But if you look at the lawn, this guy will have all the dandelions in the spring growing, and it will stop right at the edge of his lawn where the park starts, because the city park is spraying it with those to kill the weeds. So, and it's literally night and day. Like, one is just all beautiful green, the other one's all yellow. And yeah. Like, that's what we're doing to our body, right? The reason the other one's green is because it killed all the weeds. So we're putting that in our body. What's it going to do with the inside of our body?
It might be bigger in the UK than what I think. It's because I don't use it myself. But I think you probably could go to the garden center here, and you probably can buy it. It's probably more, maybe it's used more. But it does cause a lot of issues. Especially, I know in America, I did some research about cereals that they give to the kids, and they were comparing the UK cereals, like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the word, but you know, the cereals.
Yeah, go ahead. Kellogg's cornflakes.
Yeah, yeah. So they were doing some tests, and the numbers of glyphosate in the American one was super high. And apparently for the children, they don't need a lot of it to actually cause, cause issues. They don't need
it. Sure.
Their neurons aren't developed the same as in the adults. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk to specifically about celiac in a month. I have an interview set up, but it's specifically about the rise of celiac in the last 20 years. And the numbers are staggering. And what you just said is so true. Like, different countries have different rules and regulations. There's a guy named Dave Asprey. He's like the biohacking king, but he talks about coffee this way. And he says, like, in America, there's no regulation, right? So in other countries, they can, if there's mold or too much mold or however they measure it, I don't know, they can reject the shipment and be like, no, we're not taking this. It's full of mold. And that shipment, it will end up just going to America because they don't have those regulations in place. So it's like,
they'll drink it. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. I get all the good coffee. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think there is but that's the thing also, like, with coffee, with people. I mean, I used to drink a lot of coffee. I still drink it, but a lot less. But even then, I was to the point where I try to justify my coffee drinking, you know. Tried to find the research that coffee is beneficial, and yes, you can find, you know, you can find the research that coffee is good. But then when it starts to when caffeine starts to implement on your sleep, you know, how far can you go with something before it becomes almost like too much for us? It's like they say a little goes a long way, doesn't it? Someone can have a little bit of a chocolate bar, that's good for us. It's coming up to Christmas. We want to have a hot chocolate with a little bit of marshmallow on, But when we start to have that every single day, a few cups or, I think it's all in moderation.
Everything in moderation, even moderation. Oscar Wilde.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. Yeah, I think so. But that's what I like. I like to go back to basic because there is a lot of studies on, what type of diet is going to be the best one for me. When it comes to things like ketogenic diet or, all these things. And I think they become almost too complex if it's not for a specific need or reason. For the average person that's not gonna, train for something in particular, or they're not maybe a bodybuilder or, do you know what I mean? Like, when it comes to that, when it comes to kind of the average person, just bring it back to basic, add things in, take things, a few things out into the diet in general, and then see how that goes, because I think a lot of the times, especially when it comes to things like weight loss is always like, I need to lose weight now, like in 2 weeks, weight loss is always like a big thing that is going to be quick, and then if we accumulate this weight for a long period of time, not necessarily that I think people should go and lose lots of weight, but that is, I see that a lot. When it comes to things like weight loss, people start to go on really low calorie restricted diets, and they might not get the protein that they need. So instead of just losing the fat, they lose a lot of muscle. And I think when it comes to things like weight loss, slower is better.
Well, low goes slow. That's my saying. I had a client yesterday talking about this. She's going to Thailand in 2 months, and she was really upset because her weight went up over the last 2 months, and she's really concerned. And I'm like, so what do you want? And she's like, I want to make sure that when I'm in Thailand that I lose weight so that I can feel good in my body. Yeah. And I was like, how about if we just reframe it and take away the part about losing weight? How about if you go to Thailand and feel good in your body? And then if you have that vision, then the weight thing will kind of, it either happens or it doesn't, but you're not beating yourself up.
Yeah, I don't think the weight is even an issue, because then it's like, oh, I'm going away in a month, and I wanna lose 5 pounds. But then it's again like the people that you are around, they wouldn't have seen you with or without. I don't know. It's all that is mindset. It's that thing of belief. It's just, and a lot of the times, because I had a little bit like this. When I saw myself in the mirror, 7 years ago, I thought I was, really big, and I saw myself. But then looking back at the pictures, and I was like, wow, I looked amazing. And I was like, I think it's a lot in our mind.
Yeah, for sure. As we begin to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share, follow, leave a review, but no hard sell. And if you're considering any of this, if this resonates with you, reach out to Lee. She has a 20-minute free consult. She can help guide you in the right direction, and she'll work with the doctor in tandem if you need it, or you can work with her by yourself. And I think I always ask everyone this question. This is the Phase 4 podcast, and Phase 4 in the 6-phase medication is all about creating your future 3 years from now. So where is Lee 3 years from today?
Ruling the world. Nah. 3 years from now. So yeah, it's like 2024 for me, so that's like next year, it's all about community collaborations and connections. So that's something that I'm going to expand on in the next couple of years, because it's all collaborations before competition. Because I think there is so much space for everybody to be out there. And yeah, that's it. So in 3 years' time, I want to still do what I'm doing now and then build more community and connections.
That's beautiful. And then going back to your work, do you work just one-on-one with people? Do you do groups? Is it, what does that look like?
Yeah, so right now I'm doing one-to-one work. And then I'm working currently at the minute on a course. And it's like a 21-day kickstart course for fatigue and burnout. But that is coming out in sort of like around April time. I would say April time. But mainly right now it's one-to-one. And I also work with companies that do wellness talks. So I go there for an hour and do working with HR, I suppose, yeah, and come into companies.
That's awesome. I love it. And now I'm looking at your website and I see something that would maybe throw people for a complete loop. And I can see some of the signs in the background, Flat Track National.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about that because I think it's so cool.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. So I race motocross, a flat track. I don't know if you know. Yeah. So I go around almost like speedway, I suppose. So it's like around an oval. Yeah.
That's yeah. Awesome.
I actually started 2020. Yeah. So that's a UK national flat track. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome, right? It's nice to have stuff aside from our work to do and love and something to look forward to. It doesn't have to be a motorbike, but just things to...
Yeah, I do. I use that quite a lot, and I find it very meditative, if that makes sense. Because when I go out on track, it's a fear and like being excited, and they're quite similar, I find. So it's all about bringing into your breath when you're on the start line, and you've got to focus. And I don't think I've ever experienced anything so quiet in my life when I'm out on track, because I can literally see my breath, I can feel my breath, but everything is dead. It's like the time stands still when I'm on track.
That's like hockey for me. Like when you step on the ice, the rest of the world just dissolves. Like you could be coming from a funeral and it will go away for that little bit of time. And then I guess before I ask my final question, I kind of want to, let's say somebody hears what you're saying. They know the information. They know that chips are bad and apples are good, but they don't know where to start for themselves. So what would you suggest? And I know everyone's different, but what would you suggest for a starting point?
It would probably be like sleep is so important to us. Yeah. So that's away from food. But sleep. Like winding down, teaching the your nervous system or your vagus nerve the connection to really slow down, even if it's for 5 minutes a day, and then hopefully that would help you with the rest and the sleep, because that's where we do our most repair, because the body doesn't really repair when we are in high alert fight or flight mode. And I think we all, the body doesn't understand that me getting 5 to 10 emails, that doesn't mean that I'm being chased by a tiger, but it kind of, you know, you.
Yeah, for sure.
Traffic, yeah. So if that's slowing down, you're noticing traffic. If you're being undercut, or if you're being cut off in traffic, and you have to react in an alarm phase, you have to swerve or get away from danger. But then it's like when that adrenaline is still within the system and you can't wind down, I think that's when it becomes can cause issues.
So the part with that, with our world that we live in today, there's just so much information coming so fast at us from every direction, and the human brain body, it's just not evolved, and it's not designed to do that quickly. So the stress response is always on. And like you're saying, man, I look at my email and it's like you have 100 emails, they're all garbage, I need to unsubscribe. But it's like just that little signal that says, it's like, boom, it's a little bit of stress there, and then something else. And then there's hundreds of things all happening at the same time. And because we can get so much information where before we couldn't really get a lot of information, now the stress response isn't turned off. So the only time that it's turned off is while you're sleeping, which is the only time that the body can rest and repair. I did not expect that answer, but I love it and I agree completely. Sleep is my number one thing. And
Sleep. Thank you.
yeah, it's so important. And I think, yeah, it might be underestimated. It's like sleep's important. People are like, oh, you sleep too much if you're sleeping your life. And no, like it
And
allows me to function better.
isn't there a saying, I think you sleep when you're dead or something like that? I hear
Yeah.
the rats and they go, and I think, well, I don't know, if you don't take that rest, your body's gonna for sure take it when you're on holiday, and when you're on holiday, because you've been at it the whole month, and then you go on holiday, and your body's like can finally really relax, and your immune system and everything else just gonna kick in, gonna be just like
That's
wired.
a good point there too, that the body, even if it's not rest, the body will do it for you. If you just keep going, that's when we're talking burnout, right? Like the body's facing burnout, it will make you sick and make you not able to get out of bed if you don't do it yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Hit me. I don't know. Like, yeah.
And so my final question is, how can people reach you?
So I do have my Instagram, which is Neutrally. And then I have my email as well, I suppose. So it's Neutrally, it's NUTRALEI, and it's .com. That's my website, and then it's at Neutrally.com, which is my email. So that's how people can reach me. Yeah, and then
Lee, thank you so much for your time, and I'm so grateful. This was very informative and awesome conversation. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. Thank you.